You're entering the MSP Zone, a podcast for the managed services community, covering news, analysis, and interviews from around the globe. Elevate your MSP game by staying in the MSP Zone. And now, your host, Charles Weaver.
Today we ask the question, is it better to be cyber secure or cyber resilient? No, it's not a trick question, but it's a complicated question, and it takes a complicated, slightly complicated response, but no fear. We're going to walk you through everything and explain the complex and make it simple, at least in theory. We're going to talk about a few other things, including a run-in we had with another cyber consultant and some advice for those of you more on the brick fix reactive side of the spectrum, and give you some advice and maybe some encouragement on why now might be as good a time as any to enter the professional managed services ranks. But first, let's start with cybersecurity or cyber resilience. And I wanted to, I've talked a lot about this. We talked a lot about it during the pandemic, even before, going back many years. Security is one thing, and all MSPs need to be secure. But being resilient as an MSP is not always the same. In fact, in my professional estimation, there are a lot of companies that focus a ton of resources on cybersecurity, MSP security, and even, you know, going further, most of them on helping customer security through managed services. But when you look at it closely, are they really spending time and resources on helping them as an MSP and their customers become resilient? That is a really different question, and it's not always the same. So I want to break down what's the difference, what does it take to be both secure and resilient, and give you some practical broken down steps into how to get to a point of being both secure and resilient as an MSP, so you can take that lesson and give it to your customers ultimately, because that's what this is all about. So I broke it down into three kind of categories: planning, testing, and monitoring. And this is being applied specifically again to the cybersecurity and resilience issue. And we start with planning because, like most things in managed services, if you're not planning it, it's never going to get done, and it's never going to be repeated or repeatable. So I always start with planning. Cyber resilience, by the way, maybe we should start with just defining security and resilience. Security, cybersecurity, MSP security is all about preparing for the attack. It's the defense, right? It's before you've been attacked, building up the walls, right? If you're thinking about it as a physical thing, it's a castle, right? You're inside the castle, you're an MSP, you're inside the castle, you build the castle walls, you build the gate, right? An iron gate, you build walkway around the top so you can, you know, have armed people looking out to make sure that no bad people are trying to scale the walls and get into the castle where the good people are, right? All that. Those are all good. That's a metaphor for cybersecurity, right? It's your firewall. It's your EDR, hopefully. It's your backup data. It's your testing of backup data. Can you restore from that backup data? Is it air-gapped and all that fun stuff? And many, many other items that go into a proper modern-day MSP security regimen or plan. Most MSPs stop there. Now, if you're one of them that says, no, we go a lot further, then good for you. You could probably turn this off and go do something else. But if you don't do more than that, if you have stopped there, or if you're not quite sure if you're doing the right things, then keep listening, keep watching. Planning for your cyber resiliency is the security is the defensive before the attack. The resiliency is once you've been attacked, and it could be you've been attacked and it's been a successful attack, or it could be you've been attacked, it was successfully defended, but you still have some post-battle things that you need to do in order to make sure that the coast is clear, it's really safe, it's safe to get back to business as usual. All those things I put into the resiliency category. And a lot of MSPs don't take the necessary steps to become cyber resilient. And if I could say, I think that that's a mistake, obviously, but it's very easy to become cyber resilient. And so I hope that this will, you will take this as a simple, broken down, step-by-step process on how to start thinking of yourself in a cyber resilient way and how to take measured steps to accomplish that. So now that we've defined cybersecurity, cyber resiliency, done. Let's talk about planning. How do you plan? Just like your cybersecurity, hopefully, if you're a good MSP, you've got a documented MSP plan, a documented set of policies, procedures. Hopefully one of them contains something that might look like, might pass for an information security policy. And if we're really lucky, that document, that InfoSec policy or something else in your documented policy library might look like a what to do in case of emergency. It might be called a lot of different things. It might be a disaster recovery plan, a DR plan. It might be a business continuity, a BC plan. It might be a BCDR plan. It could be a number of different things, whatever you call it. It's the document, it's the plan that talks about what happens when your MSP is attacked, what you do afterwards. And especially, it should have details that talk about what happens if it's a real attack and it really happens and it's really successful. They got in. They compromised something. Maybe they stole something. Maybe they didn't steal it, but they got in. They could have stolen it. Maybe they just looked at stuff that they shouldn't have looked at. Maybe they gained access to stuff that they shouldn't have had access to. You can't quite be sure, so you got to find out. These are all the things that go into your resiliency planning. Document whatever that plan is. How do you do that? You start with... Because I know some of you are saying, "Whoa, that's all easy, man. But how do you start? You know, I don't have time. I'm running an MSP business every day. I can't do this." No, you can. It's you can do it. And I'm going to tell you how. Start pulling your team together and say, "Look, let's identify where are the common risk areas of our business. It's going to be different. All MSPs. You take 100 MSPs, line them up. Ask them where their vulnerabilities are, and you're going to get some common scenarios, you know, common access points, but you're going to get a lot of differences. Trust me, you're going to get a lot of uniqueness across 100 MSPs. So every MSP is going to be different. I'm saying that because if you go borrow your buddies from your peer group and say, "Hey, can I borrow your business continuity plan that you mentioned that you had, you know, let me copy it." Fine, if you actually have a friend that would give it to you, do it, but then don't just leave it alone. You need to modify it to your specific needs, and your needs are going to be probably somewhat different, maybe very different than your friend's. However you get it, write it down and make sure that it's reflective of what you and your MSP practice do. And that means your risks, according to the type of customers you have, the type of services you deliver, the way you deliver them, the nature of the work that you do and the customers that you do it for, all boil up into unique risk for you alone as an MSP. And that's going to be different from the other MSPs out there. The type of tools you use, the location of your MSP practice, what country, what states, provinces, what have you. All those things are going to be risk identification characteristics that you will want to consider in your documentation of your plan. Why am I saying this? I'm saying this because this is going to really help you to not focus on the 90% of the junk out there that's probably really unlikely, right? There's a lot of stuff that you could probably say, this is never going to happen to me as an MSP. But there's probably a good amount, maybe 10%, maybe it's more. I don't know. The point is there's some stuff that is unique to you as an MSP and your customers that you should be thinking about. And you probably already know what those risk characteristics are. Think about them, write them down, and be honest with yourself and say, do these really represent accurate risks to us and our clientele? And don't just look at yourself as an MSP, or don't just look at your customers. Look at you as being in the way of the bad guys and your customers. Look at that they want to get through you or around you or over you or under you or however. They need to get you out of the way to get to your customers. So think about that when you're doing your planning. Think about that when you're analyzing your risk and documenting that. Why are you doing all this? You're doing all that so that you can anticipate what the types of attacks are going to be and you can plan for them. And this type of cyber resiliency study or analysis or whatever you want to call it, preparation, can do a lot of good for helping you prepare or maybe modify your cybersecurity defenses, but it can go a long way towards making sure that the limited resources that we all have are properly applied to the places where they're going to matter most. Okay, talked about planning. Now we move on to testing. Now that you've got your fancy little business continuity, business disaster recovery, MSP plan documented, written down, and you feel pretty good about it, might be a good idea to test the sucker. Okay, how do you test it? Well, some of you might be, you know, pick up the phone and call the latest pen tester that I know you guys are all getting bugged by, right? Online, you know, pen testing as a service and all that stuff. Good stuff, right? Good stuff. I'm not knocking it. Would a penetration test fit the bill here? Yes and no. What I mean by testing, so just so we're clear, no, I'm not saying don't use pen tests. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is when you're going to test your cyber resiliency, if you're doing penetration testing, that's fine. You should be doing that anyway. If you do it on yourself, that's okay. If you have an external party doing it for you, that's probably a lot better. What I'm talking about are actual tabletop exercises where you take your document, your, I'll call it the oh crap manual, the something really bad hit the fan, right? Things are not good right now document that says, this is what you do in the case of an emergency. You rip off the seal and you start following the instructions. That's what kind of a test I'm talking about, all right? So it's not a pen test. What I'm talking about is you take the scenarios. Maybe you come up with a half a dozen. Maybe it's only two or three. I don't know. Everyone's going to be different. But you'll have a finite number of likely scenarios for a cyber event on your MSP practice or involving your customer. And what you should do is go through those scenarios with some regularity. We'll get to that in a moment. But maybe just start with one or two. And you gather all the department heads or the key people from your company that need to be involved in this, and you sit them down and you say, next 2 hours, we are simulating this scenario. As of right now, we are going to pretend, right? You're not actually pulling, you know, Ethernet cables out of the walls and kicking over servers or doing, you know, you're not doing any of that stuff. This is all a simulation. I don't want to get any calls from people saying, hey, man, you said we should test cyber resiliency so we, you know, wrecked our whole server room so we could prepare for a disaster. No, I'm not saying any of that. Simulation. Practice. Okay. You create the scenario. You get your relevant people from your company, you get them in the table, and you say, this is the scenario. This just happened. What do you do? And you watch them. And you have someone in the room that's a note taker and just kind of notating and writing down what is happening. And you will be surprised if you do it honestly and you don't just do it as a rubber stamp and we know what to do. But if you really look at it as an exercise in what would you do as a company and be very detailed in the steps that you take, right? Think about this. Suppose one of the scenarios is a major software vendor to your MSP practice is knocked offline, right? Maybe it's a local data center is hit by a storm and no longer has power. So you're down a primary data center. What do you do? Or a cloud provider is knocked offline, right? There's any number of scenarios. Maybe it's a successful cyber attack. Maybe it is a something that came in through a customer that's impacting you. I don't know. There's so many scenarios. I could spend all day giving you the scenarios, but it's all going to be unique to you. The point is that you go through that scenario, whatever it is for you in your MSP practice, and you honestly assess how you would react and the steps that you would take. And you would be very detailed, such as, okay, the person who's in charge of communication to customers, whoever that is, or that department in your company, what do you guys do? What's your first call? Are you authorized to say anything to customers? Are you authorized to say anything to the press? Those are the things, by the way, that you would never want to figure out in the middle of a crisis. You want to think about those things before, when you're very calm, when everything's working, so that if you ever end up in a crisis, you're not in a crisis. You're dealing with it according to a plan that has been tested. That's what I'm getting at. All right. I think I've beat that to death. Actually, one last thing. Document your test results. Very, very important. If you nominate someone in the room to be a note taker or a secretary to document and coalesce the different things that happened, document those findings and review them. And review them with an eye towards improvement of the MSP disaster preparedness capabilities and things that would be helpful to make you more cyber resilient. And finally, the third, right? We talked about planning. We talked about testing. The third is monitoring. How do you want to figure out whether you have been successfully attacked? Some of you are saying, well, never be attacked. Okay. That's probably not realistic for most companies on planet Earth. The best way is for you to find out yourself through your own monitoring. And so it's good for you not only to have your internal, your RMM that you typically use for your customers focused internally, but also if you're already doing this and using like an EDR type of a platform for your customers, point it inward as well. Monitor yourself just like you would be your best customer who buys everything that you sell, they buy from you. Be that customer for yourself. Use all the technologies that you can yourself and monitor all of your internal assets, IT assets, everything. And be the first entity that figures out whether you have been attacked or if an attack is happening. And if you are that capable and aware, then you will be one step ahead of everybody else who figures out only, you know, much too late, after the panic has already set in, after people who shouldn't know do know. I'm talking customers or the press or somebody like that. And be the first responder for your own MSP practice and be able to say, honestly, yeah, we are looking at our internal stuff. We know the integrity is sound, and we will know if something happens, and we will be able to spin up a very quick response and be resilient because we've planned for it, we've tested it, and we are keeping an ever watchful, monitoring eye on our network. Follow those three steps and you will be not just cyber secure, you'll be cyber resilient, and you'll thank yourself for it. Okay, on to some more exciting news. It's not really exciting, but it's I'm really tired of talking about this topic, but this was such a overt in your face, or it was in my face type of a thing that I don't even know what to think about it anymore, folks. It's just, I don't know if it's demoralizing or if it's just part of getting older or, you know, what it is, but I'm gonna relay a story. It's a real story. It just happened not that long ago. And it involved a company that reached out and said that they wanted to contact us. They wanted to have a meeting with us, with the MSP Alliance. And I said, okay, sure, why not? We checked them out and we went to their website and looked at the website and you know, a bunch of us on the team here, right? We're MSP, if you don't want to call it experts, then we're MSP aware. Okay, we study MSPs a lot. We know a lot of MSPs. We look at this industry a lot for a long time. We're not spring chickens, is my point. We all look at their website and we all say, yeah, it looks like an MSP. We pass it around to the next person. They say, what do you think? Who are they? They look like an MSP. Why do they look like an MSP to you? Their website says we're an MSP. Yeah, same here. They do some other things that are not MSP stuff, like security consulting. But it says managed services. So I like to take people at their word. I like to take companies and websites at their word. They, you know, it says that they're an MSP. So we take the meeting, all right? I don't know. Maybe they wanted to be a member. Maybe they wanted to be certified. I don't know what it is. But they said, hey, we want to take a meeting. They look like an MSP, so we set the meeting, all right? A few minutes in, things get to be really, shall I say, Twilight Zone-ish. I know some of you may not remember the Twilight Zone, but go look it up. Good episodes on YouTube. It's getting really bizarre because this company is talking and we're listening to them and I'm thinking, yeah, I know I went to their website and I know that the website said that they're an MSP, but they're really not sounding like an MSP. Like they're sounding like something else. So maybe 3, 4, 5 minutes go by, and finally I said, this is all pretty interesting. You know, as an MSP, why are you asking for these types of things? And I think they were asking for, you know, getting introduced to other MSPs. And I said, well, you know, typically the only time we ever ask that is by people who want to buy other MSPs or they want to sell to MSPs. All right, so it's not that uncommon, but when it's another MSP, generally that doesn't happen a lot. And so I asked him, I said, well, you know, as an MSP, what's your purpose? Why do you want to meet other MSPs? Are you wanting to join a peer group? Or, you know, do you want to come to MSP World? What is it? What do you want to know? I said, oh no, this is their response. I said, oh no, we're not an MSP. We just want to work with MSPs. Really, we don't want to work with MSPs. We just want to work with their customers. And I did a double take, and I said, as I unscrambled my brain, wait, you said you're not an MSP. You want to work with MSPs, but really only because you want to get to their customers. Is that correct? And they said, yeah, that's right. And I said, well, I don't understand this because your website says that you're an MSP. And they said, and this is a person that had authority to speak for the company. It wasn't like a low-level functionary. It was a person that, you know, I would assume speaks a lot to people outside the company and represents the company to some degree. So they would have the capacity and the ability to speak with authority about what the company does and does not do. So here I was presented with everybody on my team had looked at their website, and all of us clearly came to the same conclusion that this was an MSP organization. And here was this guy clearly telling us they're not MSP. I said, so you're telling me, because I wanted to make sure, maybe something, new was afoot. Maybe some new catchphrase that they're, we're not an MSP. We're a MSP 5.0, whatever they're on right now. No. He said, no, we're not an MSP. We want to work with them on cybersecurity. Ah, that I've heard before. That's not new for me. So the request is finally made by them of us. Could we get, access to your members? And I was at that point a little flummoxed. And I responded with something like, no, there's no way in hell we're going to give you access to our members. Why would we? You're lying to the world. You're serving a website that says you're an MSP, and you just told us that you're not an MSP. What if a customer, an end user, were to find their way to you? What are they to think? They're not 23 years in the MSP sector. They don't understand what it is to be talking to an MSP or not. And especially when you so visibly proclaim on the website that you're an MSP, and then you tell us no, you're not an MSP. What purpose? And then I started thinking, forget the lie. They're just dumb. Who says they're an MSP to go after MSP to steal their customers? It's like, oh, my brain almost exploded. Because then I couldn't figure out what I was more angry at, that they were stupid or that they were deceitful. Anyway, the call went a little sideways at that point and ended rather quickly afterwards. But it's an example, yet another example of, number one, how important the MSP profession is right now. Number two, how, I don't want to say under attack, but the professionalism of the MSP profession is under attack, in my opinion, from characters and companies like this, who so recklessly go out and throw around the term managed services when they clearly don't consider themselves an MSP. They risk confusing the market. They confuse us. And we should be experts. We are experts at determining who's an MSP and who isn't. It's what we do. And if we're confused, what chance does anybody else have? So again, be on the lookout for these characters. They're out there. They're out there. I don't know how many of them are out there. I hope not a lot, but we just seem to be running into them, and they seem to be coming from that part of the world that's all about cybersecurity. And maybe they're just, trying to capitalize on it, and maybe they'll be gone soon. I don't know. I hope they wash out really fast, because I can't imagine that companies like this are going to stay around for very long. I mean, number one, the reputation should be trashed after not that long of a period, right? You can't go around lying about what you do as a company and expect to have people trust you and stay with you. But I just wanted to pass it along to you that, it was just another example. But this one was so in your face, so in my face, that I just couldn't believe the call that I was having, and I wanted to relay that to you guys. Anyway, on to some better news. Urgent news for break-fix reactive providers. That's the topic of the last segment. There's a story here, and it's one of a dozen or so stories that I've been reading for the last couple of months, and it's all related back to credit tightening, shrinking of the monetary supply, all that economic stuff we've been talking about in past episodes, it is actually having an impact. Some of you may realize this, some of you may not, that businesses, particularly small, medium-sized businesses, right? The big Wall Street firms, you know, they have their own issues, but they have other solutions that are not necessarily available to small and medium businesses. For small and medium businesses who are really reliant on cash flow and access to credit capital in order to get through periods of, you know, difficulty, and they need a line of credit to open up to be able to get through if cash flow suffers or takes a little bit of a hit. Hopefully this is making sense to those of you out there watching and listening. Most of the assessment from the economic people who produce content and think about this stuff a lot more than I do, are saying, hey, look, this is very real. Small, mid-sized, I should say, banks that lend to small and mid-sized companies are restricting that outflow of capital for a number of reasons. I'm not going to go into why they're happening. I've gone over that in the past. Just trust me that it's happening and that a lot of people are talking about it. Okay, so you're asking yourself, Charles, what the heck does this have to do with urgent news for break fix providers? Well, I'll tell you. If you agree that there is a tightening of access to capital, to lending, to money for small, mid-sized companies, then this should be of particular concern to you, especially in the tech world, if you are, let's say, at 50% or greater of your revenue that's coming from being a value-added reseller, a break-fix company, or a reactive company in some way. If your 50% of your revenue is from that chunk of business, I would say you're probably highly vulnerable, and you may want to listen, drop what you're doing right now, and listen to what I'm about to tell you. Because the last thing I would want is for any business to suffer. And if you've been waiting for maybe months, maybe it's been years that you've been saying, you know, I've thought about being an MSP. It's not the right time. I don't want to do it yet. I'll do it someday. I'll do it someday, but not today. If that's been you, don't wait anymore. Stop your waiting. Drop everything you do right now and go become an MSP. Or if you're already doing managed services, but it's not really the majority of your revenue, and you still have an exposure to this break, fix, or reactive revenue base or customers, develop a plan to get those customers and get that revenue switched over, because you are vulnerable. If you watched the, it should be out, the interview with I did with Jimmy Puckett from Spinnin. He talks a lot about working with his customers who weren't necessarily, you know, in managed services. They weren't managed services customers, and he talked about how he, you know, really encouraged them to make a shift. That is a really challenging thing. I am not saying that it's an easy thing to do, but I'm saying if you don't want the other thing to happen, which is, from where I'm standing and from what I'm listening from all these economists who are saying, yeah, this credit tightening is a real thing. It's going to be, if it's not already hitting, it's going to be hitting small, mid-sized businesses really soon. Then you don't want to be exposed as a IT service provider to the reactive side of that model, because it's not going to be very forgiving in a challenging economic period. MSPs can have challenging economic times. Right? What I'm saying isn't that it's going to be a magic bullet and all your problems are going to be, you know, go away if you're an MSP. I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is, if you have been putting off changing from reactive to proactive, becoming less break fix, becoming more MSP, don't wait anymore. What are you waiting for? the time to act is now, because acting now will save you a lot of pain and heartache down the road, because you took the time now to say, I don't want to be facing a credit crunch, or my customers facing a credit crunch that impacts me. Either way, it impacts me. I'd rather be an MSP. I'd rather have all the benefits that come with being an MSP. One of those benefits is you have a lot greater predictability and visibility into your cash flow because of the nature of that business model. And I am talking to you out there who sell blocks of time. That is not managed services. And we've talked about that so many times on this program. That is not cutting it. I am talking about real change, real monetary change of your business model, a change of how you deliver your services to become more proactive in your service delivery. It will do an amazing thing to your business, your company. It will help your customers in so many ways. It's not even funny. But one of the things it will do is it will dramatically lessen the impact, should it happen. I hope it doesn't, but should it happen, if there's a massive credit crunch in the US or in Canada or wherever you may be, as an MSP, I feel safe to say you will be far better off weathering that type of a storm and surviving, and if not surviving, then maybe even thriving during that type of difficulty as an MSP compared to when you were a break fix or reactive company. That's my closing plea of the day. Don't put it off anymore. No reason to put it off anymore. No reason to put off changing from reactive to managed services. Give it a try. You'll thank me for it later.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give us a like. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast so you'll get notified when future episodes are released. We will see you next time in the MSP Zone.